This is from the January 20th, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church. This morning is from the book of Psalm, chapter 36, verses 5 through 10. If you want to follow along, it's on page 504 in the Old Testament section of your Bible. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. If love were a person, what do you think the person would look like? I'm not asking you to think, to picture someone you love. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking about love itself. I'm saying love personified. What do you think love would look like as a person?
You.
Very kind. It's not even Valentine's Day. Well, in the case of both the ancient poet Chaucer and the 19th century painter Burne Jones, love is a guide. So to follow them then, right, if love were a person guiding you, what would your guide look like? Well, the painting that's on the front of your bulletin cover in black and white and up here, right, that's the painting. That's how Burne Jones pictures love. It's called Love and the Pilgrim. So the painting depicts two people. In this case, the pilgrim is the one emerging from the thorns. Maybe us, right? The other person is love, guiding the way. The idea of love personified as a guide for a pilgrim on a quest, right? That came from the poet Chaucer, and Burne Jones was reading this poem called The Romance of the Rose, and Chaucer's description goes like this. And there was upon his head set of roses red a chapelet, but nightingales of full great rout had flown over his head about. And you can see that in the painting. If you look at the painting, there's birds flying over love's head, nightingales, just above what looks like a crown of some sort, might be a crown of thorns if you're imaginative. It's made of roses. Crown of thorns is actually probably getting a little ahead of myself, right? This talk about Jesus in a minute. First, let's just stick with the painting. A chapelet, right? It means string. It's a word that means string, and it can refer to rosary beads. So this depiction of love is devotional, like you would hold the beads, right? The stooped pilgrim is torn by thorns and partly tangled in them. There they are, right? And love has stretched out an arm to help guide the way. And notice where love's foot is, stepped forward on solid rock. This painting took 20 years. It was a labor of love. It took 20 years from start to finish to paint this. And when it was finally done and exhibited in the Tate Gallery, these lines went along with it. Love that is first and last of all things made, the light that morning has man's life for shade. And so the reference to light and shade makes me think of the struggles and the hope to find hope in life in the midst of despair. But this idea of love as the first and last of all things made, that's what interests me most. Now, a lot has been written about this, and one commentator said the painting is not clearly religious. Supposedly because it depicts love sort of more broadly than divine love. It lacks any clear biblical reference. The commentator says the depiction of love as a winged angel, clearly while using religious imagery, the theme is not strictly religious. The theme is love, more broadly speaking. But I wonder about that. I mean, isn't that the heart of our religion, love? And what does love have to do with faith? Well, usually love, as we found out in the Bible study this morning, has an adjective in front of it because it's such a big thing that we gotta qualify it. It's this kind of love or that kind of love, steadfast love, romantic love. Evangeline C. Booth and William Booth founded the Salvation Army. Some of you may have heard their names before. She was quite a preacher, it turns out, in the mid-1800s. and Evangeline wrote a sermon called God is Love. She says this: God is love. These three words are the Alpha and the Omega of the Bible. Now, remember what Burne Jones said. Remember the words that accompanied that painting? Love is the first and the last of all things made. The Alpha and the Omega of the Bible, she says. She goes on. Every judgment that has ever thundered across its pages, every promise rainbowed with storms, every solace, every warning, every efficacy, every refuge that ever has been, by virtue of this indestructible truth, God is love. Her words are a witness to me, and with them I would say, this painting is religious. It might even be called the definition of religion. In her sermon, she goes on to dig deeper what we mean when we say love. Some of us think, well, what about that word? We think we understand it, or we know what it means. We use it all the time, from potato chips to the person most important in your life. I love that, or love her or him. Perhaps we know something about it. We do understand the human heart a little bit. We've experienced something or other that we're trying to put words to, but it's the experience we're trying to put words to that's more interesting to me. She says, for sweep of influence, for magnitude of power, love rivals every other sentiment known in the human family. It is the daybreak of every earthly night. It is the star of every human sky. What is money? What is beauty? What is fame compared to love? There's the love of children for parents. It's wonderful. A mother's love is a wonderful thing. A father's love, nothing more beautiful. And yet, human love in comparison to God's love is a candle to the sun. A candle to the sun. So I thought about her words and my question about religion and that painting. I mean, maybe not all love is religious, but some truly is. So what does love look like? What is guiding you in your faith, in your life? And when is love a real expression of faith? I wondered about all that. Came across some words from a book we're going to be spending some time with on Monday nights in a few weeks. In February and March, our Monday night study group is going to look at a book called Love Does. That's the title. It's by a man named Bob Goff. In the introduction, Donald Miller, his friend, says this about Bob, the guy who wrote the book. Where you and I may want love, we might feel love, we might say love, Bob reminds us that love does things. It writes a letter. It gets on a plane. It orders pizza. It jumps in a lake. It hugs, it prays, it cries, it sings. Much of what we've come to know and believe about love does not ring true, he says, once you know this man whose love does. And if you've ever known someone like that, you know what he's talking about. So if the book is right and true, that love does, it's a verb, then what does God's love do? Is it different from all the things that we described about human life? I mean, does God's love hug or cry or sing or jump in a lake? Maybe. Maybe somehow in Jesus it does. Maybe that's the point of Jesus. I mean, to really answer the question, go back again one more time to Evangeline Booth and what she wrote in her sermon, God is Love. She says, it is a love that comes down. It is a love that comes down, coming down like to talk to fishermen and to wait on a table, coming down. How deep is your sorrow? How deep is your sin? God's love comes down. That's what God's love does. So I thought about all that, and I remembered something that happened to me years and years ago in Nicaragua. I was there visiting as part of a Witness for Peace delegation, and we were people of faith who believed that putting your faith into action was an important thing to do. And so one way you show people living in a war zone what faithful love looked like was to go there and be with them. So we went there to study the church there, to pray, to hear about their struggles. We wanted to stand with them, and we wanted to say, not every American believes in this war that we know is hurting you. And we hope to embody our love and our faith by showing up there. But what happened, of course, was the opposite. You already know this if you've ever done anything like this. Much more than me putting my love into action, they did. When I arrived, first I was shocked by the poverty. I'd never been in a country that poor before. My host family lived in a little two-room house with a dirt floor. My companion and I were welcomed in, and they showed us how to make tortillas over the open fire in the kitchen, which was one of the two rooms. We showered in the backyard in an open enclosure with no roof. That was not one of the two rooms. And when it time came to go to sleep, this family of five offered the two of us their one bed in the other room. That was the other room. So we would sleep there, and the five of them would sleep on the dirt floor in the kitchen. How do you say yes? But how do you say no? Right? It was a matter of utmost honor and faith and love. It was a matter of showing the love of their faith. And so we slept on the bed as well as you could sleep, considering the situation and thinking about all of it. Another story. When my dad and I talked about death, we talked about birds. When my father's father, my grandfather, died, there had been something between them unresolved. So I'll tell you, if there's anything unresolved with someone you love, don't wait. And if you know that person fully and everything is resolved upon their death, there is no greater gift. If you know and are at peace in relationship. Anyway, there was something unresolved, and my dad had prayed the night after Grandpa's death, and my dad told me that he saw a black bird the next day, and something about it made him think of Grandpa, and so we had this story about this bird. Well, after my dad died, one day I was missing him, and I looked up, and I saw this flock of birds going in that V shape they make with the one leading the way. And then there was one off going the other way. And I said, "It's Dad!" He always independent and stubborn, doing his own thing, kind of going off the wrong way. I tell you that story because I was thinking about all of that as I was preparing for today in this sermon about love. And I do not think that incident with the bird necessarily was a sign or proof of anything. I do not believe that incident with the bird proves that my dad loved me. I know he loved me for other reasons. What's proof? But the more I thought about it, I think it does prove something. It doesn't prove my dad loves me. It proves I love my dad. Now, go back to the words of Evangeline Booth one more time. Human love, in comparison to God's love, is a candle to the sun. And God's love is the Alpha and Omega of our faith. That love is personified in Jesus, our guide. So how is that love guiding you?